The intention today in Sunday school is to, I think that door is locked, maybe. No, it isn't. It's fine. Is to finish up the series we've done for a long time on spirit baptism, and we culminated by understanding even better, I hope, through imputation, Romans, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse in terms of reckoning ourselves dead to the sin nature. Now, if you'll turn over to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, we are going to finish this. I should mention, as you turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, that we, in our intention, unless we're led otherwise, is to start a series in Sunday school on spiritual gifts next week. And you know my provision to that is, or proviso, is Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. We'll start, and the first thing we're going to do with spiritual gifts is show you the temporary ones or intermediate ones, transitional spiritual gifts, prove to you from Scripture several places and several different ways why they're not existing today. It has to do with the kingdom of God and mystery form and a few other things. And let's just say it has to do with the definition of faith in the New Testament as well. And so we'll get into that. And then we'll get into the gifts. And as you know, we'll get in, you'll use all the examples from Scripture and how they tie into the body of Christ. I've come more and more, and this is relative to what we're going to do today, to understand that the body of Christ, although it's imputed in God the Father's mind, pictures us here on earth, which is regeneration, and how we relate to Him up there in the Father's mind. And so the body of Christ, if you really start understanding that extended metaphor, is a combination of both spirit baptism and spirit regeneration, or being born again as they are put together, and how they work in harmony. Now, in Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse, you have the old man. Remember, the old man, and it defined in this verse, is our position or potential in Adam, realized in activity. And so, stop lying to one another, Colossians 3:9. One another would be other Christians, seeing that you have put off, and that's put off for yourself at a point in time. Now, if this is very important, every Christian put off the old man and put on the new man for themselves in the Father's mind at salvation. That's up there in the third heaven. Not every Christian functions as though they put off the old man, because we still have our sin nature, and put on the new man down here. So there's two aspects to it. There's in the Father's mind. That's why understanding imputation is so important. That's in the Father's mind is the potential, and what we live like down here is the reality. I got to watch my hand motions after that guy. What's his name? Beto. So I watch the hand motions. Now, in verse 10, remember, this is 100% in the Father's mind, not 100% factual. Let me say that even another way. Potential versus reality. And have, at that point in time, at initial salvation, put on the new man. You know, the new man is in the King James, when they italicize something, that means there's an ellipsis or an understood concept. And they're correct in putting the word man here, because we went over Ephesians 2:15, where the word anthropos is really there. So it should be there. The new man, and the reason we know that is because later in the verse it talks about created in Christ. Now, this is where we're going to look at today. The new man, now watch how I translate this, not which, but the one being renewed in the full experiential knowledge after the image, that's the image of Christ that created the new man in Himself. Now, there's a lot here, but we want to focus in on this concept of renewed. Where where are we? Two things. The renewedness, or the being renewed, is in what area? In the area of practice and knowledge. So if I, as a Christian, and operating and pleasing to God the Father, as I operate in that, in God the Father's desirous will, not perfect will, desirous will, and as I function, I learn to do that more efficiently, that's in the area of how I'm renewed, and it's always in the new man, which would mean if I can gain experiential knowledge of who God is, this verse tells you how you do it. When you have functioned down here the way God the Father counts it up in the third heaven as throwing off the old man and putting on the new man. The old potential in Adam in terms of functioning and the new potential in Christ in terms of functioning. But that's down here. So it would be a combination of baptism and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Now, that word being renewed is the same word that we find over in Romans. This is the part I didn't tie off last week. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse. It's the same word, different form, and I'm going to explain that. In Romans, the 12th chapter and the 1st verse, I looked this up. I think I stated this last week. Wiest, who is a grammarian that we really, most fundamental people who study the Bible in the Greek, really respect him, but he made a mistake here, and he translated this aorist, which I would take to be an inceptive aorist. If you have an interlinear, it's a infinitive of purpose. And he translated it once and for all. Now, if you once and for all yield your body to the Lord, there's a problem with theology there in the sense that that indicates that Christians once saved have sinless perfection, which means if that's true, you belong over in that building and get resaved every now and then. So I will say that the aorist has the idea of start doing something or begin to do something. I will say that when you yield your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice, that your intention is at that point that that's it. Now, even at my age, I know that that's not it because I got a sin nature. So obviously this is something you have to revisit. Now remember, let's read verse 1 and then we'll get to verse 2. I want you to notice when I read to verse 2, I'm going to change two words. The word in the King James translated world should be age. And the word in the King James in verse 2 translated renewing should be renewedness. Now the reason that's important when we get there. You have a renewed mind. We'll prove that again today. At initial salvation. So when we get to verse 2, it's something you already have. Colossians 3:10 is telling you renewed on a regular basis. It's in the area of your new mind that's already renewed. We'll see that. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beg you or exhort you, therefore, brethren, other Christians, through the compassions from God, that would be God the Father, that you yield. Remember, this same word yield or present is the same word that's over in Romans 6, verses 12 and 13, in that passage where we say, know, believe, reckon, yield. This is the same word. It means to present, put it at disposal. Romans 12:1, that you put at disposal your body a living sacrifice. And I can't even read that phrase without pointing out again, It is so ironic to see the word living with the word sacrifice. In the Old Testament, sacrifice meant death. So that is a New Testament concept that there can be a living sacrifice. As an aside, there are five, or depending how you log them, four or six, five sacrifices, priestly sacrifices we can, as New Testament priests can perform, all of which are spiritual sacrifices, none of which involve blood. Why? Because Christ's blood was the once and for all dead sacrifice. Don't need that again. That's over in Hebrews 10th chapter. That you present, I'm in the middle of verse 1, that you present for availability for use, your body's a living sacrifice, set apart. The word holy, when you see like holy Bible, just means set apart. Bible means, should be words or set apart scrolls. Set apart, acceptable, or well-pleasing, it'd be a better translation, unto the God, which would be God the Father, which is your logical or reasonable priestly service. Now that brings us to verse 2. Watch the way I change the translation a little bit. Stop being conformed to this age. Now obviously, if you're conformed to this age, it is in opposition to presenting your body for a living sacrifice to God. Now, whenever you see the word living, is that life, is that spiritual life, physical life, you see the word death, is that spiritual death, physical death. Now, I'm going to tell you another one. Whenever you see the word age, is at this point in time, is that the legal age, or in Galatians, the first chapter, the present evil age, or in 2 Corinthians, the present evil age. Now, we know that here, I tried to look this up. One time I spent hours and hours, I went through every word age in the New Testament, and I made a notation on a page as to what age it's referring to. Is it the kingdom age? Is it, you know, the legal age? And I can't find that paper. But I do know that what this one is here. I got to look that up. Note Rich, get that paper back. Okay, this age here has to be the legal age, because remember we've read the 14th chapter where people are making up rules. So that's who what he's worried about. That's another example why we can't take the 12th chapter apart from the 14th chapter. We have to have the context. So it is talking about the legal age, that if you conform, this word conformed in verse 2 has to be in outward fashion. So if you function as though you're part of the legal age, you're in opposition to the renewedness of your new mind. We'll get to what that means in a minute. Now, I want to impress upon you, as I want to do, that making up rules is contrary to being spiritual in the New Testament. Let me turn to Galatians. Let's refresh our memory on one verse. We're going to do three verses, but we're going to start with one verse. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 23rd verse, after he lists the parts of the fruit from the Spirit, the 9 parts of the fruit from the Spirit, one fruit, he makes this statement, and these are all attitudes that are divinely enabled into the Christian, and we'll get to the fact that that's in your new mind and that's the renewing, but that's another, we'll get there. But in the last part of verse 23, these attitudes that the Holy Spirit gives you that should be seen in action, it says, against such there are no quality of law or rules. You can't make up a rule for somebody being too joyful. Although I guarantee you there's people out there that if you go out and enjoy something, somebody's going to make a law against it. I'm just telling you right now. That, and by the way, in spiritual matters, that's always true. The one who is a legalist will always try to make up rules for the one who is spiritual. The worst enemy, and this is in the book of Galatians, I don't want to get sidetracked, one of the worst enemies to Christians living the spiritual life are other Christians who are conforming to the legal age. That's the book of Galatians summarized. Now turn back to the third chapter of Galatians. This is in the eyes of God, and in the 11th verse, this is not in the eyes of man. There's righteousness before men, and there's righteousness before God. And what, if you understand these two verses I'm going to read, what they say is, there is no rule you can make up to make and follow to make yourself righteous before God. I'm going to give you a lot of statements on that. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is declared righteous. The word justification is the, if I remember right, is the Latin for declare righteous. But no one, that includes the ladies, is not specific to Anthropos there. But no, I'm in verse 11, chapter 3 of Galatians. But no one is declared righteous now by, not the law, by any quality, a law, in the sight of God or before God. Now, keeping in mind there was righteousness before men, it's in the earlier part of the same chapter, before the law. It is evident, you shouldn't even have to make the statement, the just shall live by faith, and faith can't be seen. The results of faith can be seen, but not faith. Now, verse 12 should start with a but. But the law, the Mosaic law, is not out of faith. Now, you wouldn't need any other verses, but I could give you a whole bunch of them that say that the law is not faith. Now, here's the deal. The law saved nobody spiritually. Under law, you performed rules, but no faith. Law kept you from being bad, but didn't make you good. Now, the whole New Testament is, there's some prohibitions, and those prohibitions are to tell you you're not spiritual, you need to get your family relationship correct. There are no prohibitions for the person that has their family relations correct, because you can't make up a rule of acting godly. There's no rules that you can make up that stop you from acting godly. Let's read the next verse. Well, let's make some more conclusions here. So, under law, they didn't live by faith. Some people during law did individual occasional acts of faith. That's in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. If you try to live under law as a Christian, you're not living by faith and you're sinning. That's the 23rd verse of the 14th chapter of Romans. So if you like to note in your Bible, on the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter of Galatians, put CF. You know what that means? Compare and contrast. Romans 14:23. You put that by Galatians 3:12. And all you need is those two verses put together, and you can say to anybody that if they're trying to live under the law, that they're sinning, if they're saved. You understand that an unsaved person is only guilty of one sin? Not believing. Okay, now let's go back to Romans 12:2. And stop being conformed to the, in an outward fashion where you're putting in an action, the legal age. Don't make up rules. I know that people think I'm crazy, but when I get up here and say there are no steps to spirituality, I mean it from the bottom of my enormous heart. You're either spiritual, you either fessed up to God the Father and acting on His desires will get there, or you're not. There's no steps. Verse 2, Romans 12. Stop being in an outward fashion conformed to this age, the legal age, But you, now this, watch this, this is a present. You are transformed, that's a change of form. So obviously this is talking about something that happened in your position and should be affecting your actuality down here. And are being changed in form, present tense, by, now how are we being changed in form? By the specific, now this has a sis ending if you have an interlinear, by the renewedness of mind. Notice in this verse you already have a renewed mind. But you have to access that renewed mind, or let's do it another way according to this verse. When you're accessing that renewed mind, you are not conformed to the legal age, to making up rules. You're not under the Old Testament. You're not. You understand. I'm just going to tell you like a TIST. Down south, and I know this from experience, most of the Southern Baptists, they know in their innately, they know they're not under law, but they like two parts of it. One part is they like that tithing. They really like that tithing. And they get into big arguments down there whether you tithe before or after income tax. And it all depends on the building program as to whether they do that or not. And the other thing they like is they in their mind, they can't articulate this, most of them, but in their mind, they've taken the seventh-day Sabbath, and the word Sabbath, you know what that means? Rest. And then they put it over on Sunday, and they call this the Sunday the Christian Sabbath. If that's true, when they are performing those two parts of the law, are they spiritual according to Scripture? No. So they can practice the, and they down south they have what they call, I forgot what they call. They're called certain kinds of laws where they can't sell liquor on Sunday, so everybody buys it on Saturday night. And there's a lot of, there's some stores that aren't allowed to open until after. Now, it used to be they couldn't open on Sunday. Now they can, liquor stores can open like in Texas at 1 or 12 o'clock because after church, yeah. And so they've changed some of those blue laws, I think they were called. There was a color associated with those laws. I don't remember what they were. But that's making up rules. Remember, rules tell you what you can't do. They cannot tell you how to please God. The Christian life is not what you don't do. It's what you are doing. That's why we had a whole series on bearing fruit. Okay, now, so the renewedness of mind in the middle of verse 2 of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans is something you already have. You have to access it. Where do you get it? And we'll come back here, I'm pretty sure. So keep a finger here and go to Titus 3:5. This is tying up what we started with, if you remember, when we started on regeneration. Whenever you hear the word being, the concept of being born again, I want you to think Titus 3:5. This is the verse. Now there's a little tweaking we got to do with the translation. I hope you got, stay with me on this. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Does that sound like the two authors, the human author and the divine author that wrote Ephesians 2:8? Sounds like it to me. Not by works of righteousness which we have practiced, or not practiced, crafted, contrarywise, but as measured by His mercy, that be God the Father's mercy, who's called our Savior in verse 4. All three persons that are involved in our salvation and called our Savior. He, God the Father, saved us, but He didn't do it directly. How did He do it? Through, not by, through the laboring, this is the ceremonially cleansing us, consisting of being born again, regeneration, and now you see this, the renewing should be the renewedness from the Holy Spirit. So at salvation, now I would take the logical order to be regeneration first and then baptism. that's from a logical point of view. From a sequential point of view, they happen so quick that there's no difference from a human point of view. But this renewed, first of all, the Holy Spirit makes us ceremonially clean so God can look on us. Isn't that what it says? Then it says, let me get it exactly, because this is so precise in the original, I do not want to mess it up. He saved us. How did he do it? Titus 3:5, right in the middle. He saved us through the lavering consisting of regeneration. So we became ceremonially clean when we were born again. That's regeneration, again birth, and the renewedness from the Holy Spirit. So at regeneration, at an initial birth, in terms of our spiritual birth, we're giving a renewedness. We see over in Romans 12:2, we already have go back to Romans 12:2. In Romans 12:2, when you dedicate, or really a better word is if you present your body as a living sacrifice to God, you do it in opposition to legal age, and you are doing it by means of that you transform or you change your form by the renewedness of your mind. Let me put it another way. Stop thinking in the realm of your unsaved, unregenerated mind. You're not two persons. And start thinking in the realm of another mind. Where's that other mind come from? We're recapping a whole bunch of stuff. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. This is where the renewedness is. It's a renewed potential to think thoughts. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked, but in this verse, the 16th verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, you have a mind described two different ways. It's called the mind of the Lord. That means when you're fully functioning in that mind, you have to be subservient to Lord, subservient to the master of the body, Jesus Christ. It's also called the mind of Christ. Every Christian has the mind of Christ. Not every Christian uses the mind of Christ with Christ as Lord. Got it? Okay. Now watch me translate this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath experientially known a quality of the mind of the Lord? We don't have, I get a little sloppy with language, we don't have a complete mind of God. We're not God, but we have a quality of it. I'll show you how that works in just a minute. Who hath experientially known a quality of the mind of the Lord? Now the he, that's two words over, goes in front of the that. And here's the answer to the question. He that will join together in thought and purpose, that's what the word instruct means, with him, Christ. Now, so if you are functioning as Christ is the head of the body and you recognize it and you're subservient to it and you're functioning in this mind, you have the mind of the Lord. Now there's a general statement for all Christians in the last of the verse. We are having, it's present tense, the quality of the mind of Christ. So every Christian has the mind of Christ. When you use it, it's the mind of the Lord. When you're sharing in, that word joined there or instruct should be joined together in thought or purpose. Now, let's put some stuff together and finish this off. Where do these thoughts come from? You're going to get all three persons here. Who regenerated you and gave you a renewedness of mind? Titus 3:5, Holy Spirit. What's that new mind called? The mind of Christ, or a quality of the mind of Christ. Where do those thoughts originate from? Turn to Philippians 2:13. Now we know this is God the Father because the antecedent goes back to verse 11, God the Father. Pretty simple. Now I'm going to say something, and I can prove it to you if you need to on the side. When you ever you see the desirous will, it's talking about a nature. We know that from Ephesians 2:2-3. So when we see the word desirous will here, we know it's talking about a nature of God. How do we get hooked up to the nature of God? 2 Peter 1:4, we participate or we share in common, if I remember right, in the nature of God. We don't have the nature of God, we're not God, but we participate in it. So when we get this fellow here, or this desirous will from God the Father, on how we should act, it comes from our sharing in common because God of the of God's nature, because God the Father indwells us. You see, I want you to see why all three persons are involved with it. Now, in verse 12 of 2nd chapter of Philippians, the important word is work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. And when we get to verse 13, it says, for the God, that's the one back in verse 11, God the Father, for the God the Father energizes, this is the word energizes, in you to do two things. To desirously will, that would come from his nature. So that's because God the Father is indwelling us. I participate, you participate in the new, in the God, the nature of God. You get desires. Desires will. Now, what are God the Father's desires for us? To be energetic of his good pleasure. So there are desires in the realm of our new nature to please God. Where do those desires go? Well, they go to the mind of Christ. And if I have subject, or if I'm in subject or submission to God the Son as the head of the body, in the mind of Christ, it becomes the mind of the Lord for me. And the Holy Spirit actuates those thoughts. He's the one that gave me that mind. I read you the verse. He's the one that makes some strong desires. And who has to do them? I do. Now let me reiterate, this is the sum total of what we've been doing for 9 months. I'm going to put up three words. And I hate to do that. Well, I can do it in the English, I think. To summarize the three persons of the Godhead's work in all of this. Let's start with God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the instrument. And if you have one of your Greek interlinears, it is always, in terms of what we're talking about, it's by. This is the word by. It's always by the Holy Spirit. Instrument. So the Holy Spirit is the instrument in all of this. Christ, this is the Greek, in the Greek is dia, which is an intermediate agent. So he's the intermediate agent. He's the way through the veil. He's the agent to the veil. But when you go through the veil, who do you get to? To the Father. And the Father is the source of all things. In the original, it looks like this. He's out of the Father. So let's do this way. The mind of Christ is used to function the thoughts. They are activated, or the instrument that brings them there is from by the Holy Spirit. Through the mind of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, Philippians 3:13, from God the Father. Got it? So the ultimate source, this is true of almost every doctrine. The ultimate source of all things is God the Father. Now, when you get in the, if you just, there's, I just want to caution you. There's exceptions to this. Where would be the exception when your point of view? This, when we overall point of view, God the Father is the source of all things. Overall point of view, God the Son is the intermediate agent of all things for us. God the Holy Spirit is the instrument of implementing all things. That's also true of creation. God the Father designed it. God the Son spoke it into being. God the Holy Spirit arranged it. We got verses for all that. The exception would be, is if you're just talking about the God, body of Christ, who's the source of all things in the body of Christ? Well, the perspective there would be Christ is head. So this does change, but you've got to be fluid in your thought process. But overall, this will always work. Almost everything, Christ's resurrection, the resurrection applied to us, our resurrection, any doctrine you can think of, that I can think of, has all three persons involved. And in Romans, the sixth chapter, overcoming the sin nature, we are to think in the realm of our new mind. Oh, I hate to tell you this. I hate to tell me this. Philippians 3:13 basically says the right thought's always there. That's why we keep studying Scripture, because with all these thoughts are going through our mind, how do we figure out which one's the right one? It measures up to Scripture. But the right thought is always there, because I can't get rid of the mind of Christ, and you can't either. I don't use it as the mind of the Lord all the time, and you don't either. I got verses for that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that activates this mind, and the source of the thoughts come from God the Father. Ooh, this is wonderful stuff. All three persons. But let me reiterate, and we'll close with this. The reason we spend all the time in Scripture, remember Philippians 3:13, the right thought is always there. We spend all this time in Scripture so that when we are rightly related to the Father, that's only when it's available. When we're rightly related to the Father, we can figure out what the right thought is. And if it doesn't measure up with Scripture, it's not coming from our new nature. Let me say this, something that a lot of Christians can't get. The Holy Spirit will never give you a thought contrary to Scripture. He won't tell you to rob a bank. Now, that I didn't get into it today because of time, but in that renewedness of mind has to do with the renewedness of mind over in Romans 12, chapter and second verse. You can, if you want to study in your own additional study, would be John 2:20 and 27 with the Holy Spirit, the divine teacher. He's the one that keeps the. Let's do it this way. If 10 years ago you learned the truth and you're right, and now at this point in time you're rightly related to the Holy Spirit and you need that truth at that point, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. That's 1 John 2:20 and 27. You'll always have the right. You'll always have the. Now, I didn't get into it today, but over in Romans 6, verses 12 and 13, when it talks about yield, the yielding had happened back in verse 11, and verse 13 or 12 and 13 tell you what that alive unto God means back in verse 11, and what the yielding really means. It's you, if you. I was at camp. We had a summer camp, church camp, and I threw that twig into that fire. And I just said, I dedicated my life to the Lord. And the next day I forgot it. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about in that. Oh, you didn't do that? They always have a devotional speaker. Did you throw the twig into the fire? Yeah. It's about as good as that twig. Okay, our Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that you have made every provision we need to live a life pleasing to you. and that that's our responsibility. That's what we had ought to do, and we thank you for that.